Hi, welcome to the Berks Teens Matter podcast series. I am your host, Beth Ireland. I am joined once again by Dr. Jen May. Last episode, we learned all about the program, what Berks Teens Matter is. And this episode, we're going to learn about Jen, who is the program coordinator. She's very interesting. She's a really fantastic resource for our community and for this project. And so we're going to learn more about her today. So Jen, thank you again for coming and talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Jen, let's start at the beginning. Are you from Pennsylvania?
Yes.
You are?
York, Pennsylvania.
You live in York. You've always lived in York.
No, well, I left York at 18 and said I was never going back, but now.
I did the same thing for Reading. Yeah, I left and said peace out, and here I am.
Yeah.
There's no place like home,
no,
right?
Right.
Where'd you go to college?
Westchester.
For what's your major?
Elementary education.
Okay. And then you went from elementary ed, so maybe you wanted to be a teacher?
I thought so. Yes.
And how did you end up being a doctor?
So I went through, well, let's backtrack a little bit. I actually was thinking about, I always was very intrigued by sexuality. Don't know why. Ever since I was.
I think a lot of us are.
From when I, you know, I used to read the inserts in the tampon.
Right.
You know, things to educate myself.
And the quizzes
myself.
In the Cosmo magazines.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually did want to be, I wanted to be an OBGYN. And for various reasons, I didn't choose that. So I, you know, decided to be a teacher, and I did my 4 years, and I really enjoyed it, and then I did my student teaching, and I did my fifth grade placement, and it wasn't too bad. It was, you know, I enjoyed it. And then my second placement was kindergarten, and I thought to myself, I cannot do this for the rest of my life. you know, I would be teaching, and kids would just literally, fall out of their chairs. And, you know, my mentor would be like, oh, no, that's normal. I'm like, I'm trying to teach them. They're falling out of their chairs. She said, that's developmentally appropriate. I was like, okay, I'm not sure this is for me.
Right.
So then I said, I need to reassess what I want to do for the rest of my life. So honestly, I said, let's go back to what I originally wanted to do. And I knew I did not want to go back to med school. And I just, for whatever reason, I thought, is there any program in the United States, I was willing to go anywhere, that had something about sexuality? And wouldn't you know, there was one in my state at the University of Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't think I'd get accepted because, you know, who does for grad school? And I got accepted within the year and went right back to grad school.
What did you think you were going to do with that when you grew up?
So it's actually a doctorate in education. I was actually well prepared compared to some of my cohort members because some of them came in with social work degrees and because they had different, you know, they wanted to be therapists or something. So I came in knowing that I wanted to stay in the education field in some capacity. I knew that I did not want to do therapy. But that's what they kind of weeded us out at the very beginning. We all learned the same things in the basic sexuality courses. And then they started saying, okay, now what do you want to do with this? Do you want to teach at the college level? Do you want to be a therapist? Do you want to, whatever, be a nurse practitioner? We had some nurse practitioners. And I always knew that I wanted to stay in the realm of education. So then my professor said, well, you know, you can either be a PhD or an EdD. PhD, you're going to do a lot more research and maybe work for a university but not really teach very much. Or you can do an EdD, and that's prime for someone who wants to do a lot of education. So that's what I did. Took me longer to do grad school than it did college. Took me a good 6 years because I went right through my master's and then my doctorate and my dissertation. And it's interesting because my dissertation is very aligned with what I do today. My dissertation was I assessed the health and physical educators in Pennsylvania. To see how well they felt their colleges prepared them to teach about sexuality issues.
Wow.
Yeah, because it usually falls upon the health and gym teachers, and they are not necessarily taught in college how to teach about sexuality. So I did an assessment of that, and now, you know, I work with a lot of health and physical educators, and I've trained a lot of them. And
wow.
Yeah, so it's all worked out very well.
That's a lot of smart stuff.
I don't know about that, but
well,
yeah.
No, I mean, and really, really interesting. We could do a whole other podcast on what your findings were on that paper. We'll save that for down the road.
Yeah.
Okay, so you graduated college.
So it might have been quicker than a year that I got accepted to grad school, because then I moved to the Philadelphia area so that I could go to Penn for grad school. You know what? I had a different experience than most, because within my doctorate program, I got married and then had two children. So the day I defended my dissertation, I actually had a 5-week-old.
Oh, my gosh.
And a 17-month-old.
Oh, my gosh.
So I wasn't really thinking at that point, what am I going to do next other than stay home and raise these two little ones for a little bit? I thought that we'd be living in the Philadelphia area. We still were at that point, so I thought I'd be teaching at a university. And I did do adjunct work for the, you know, while my kids were little, but then when we moved back to York, the university, there aren't too many in York, nor do they have any sexuality programs right. or much. And actually in there, in my master's program, so before I had children, but when I got married, I was working for Planned Parenthood of Delaware. I was a community educator. So I would just commute from Philadelphia to Wilmington. And I did that for a couple of years until I think I became pregnant and I was working on my dissertation.
What brought you back to York?
So my husband is actually from York as well.
Okay.
And our parents. So once we had children, we were married for 7 years living in the Philadelphia area. We said it would be really nice if they could know their grandparents.
And be closer.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you got back to York, raised the kids for a couple of years, just solely stay-at-home mom?
No. I've always done consulting. Because then I could pick and choose, you know, what worked with my schedule. So my consulting resume is much longer than my actual, you know, full-time experience. But it was great because I got to do so much with so many different organizations, national organizations and state and local through my consulting.
We learned on the last podcast that you were working with the Reading School District on mm-hmm. a project. That's kind of how you got involved with Berkstein's Matter. Tell us about that project you were working on at that time with the CDC.
Right.
Reading School.
So at one point when I thought I was ready, I wanted to go back to full-time. I could find nothing in York. So I emailed one of my professors, and I just said, this is horrible. I live in York. There's nothing I can do with my degree. And she said, I know one person in York. Let me just reach out to him. And wouldn't you know, he said, I am keeping my fingers crossed that I'm going to get this CDC grant. And if I do, you're absolutely coming on board. And it just worked out. Within the next couple of months, we got the grant. It was to implement evidence-based programs in community-based organizations and in schools.
Which, what is an evidence-based program?
It's something that's been proven over time through rigorous evaluation to change knowledge, behavior, attitudes with regard to teen pregnancy. So I was in charge of training teachers in four schools in Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, Lancaster, Reading, and York. I would train them on evidence-based curricula, and then I would provide technical assistance. So I would be there if they needed me for certain lessons. Sometimes I would just sit and observe and give them some feedback, evaluation. I did all of that with these four school districts, and one of those was Reading. And at that time, Reading, while the school board wasn't necessarily on board, we really had to fight to get some of these programs in the classrooms, the other supporting staff. Ann Fisher has been a great support since 2010. She's the director of, I forget her title has changed, but director of like health services or wellness. And then some of the women who work with the pregnant and parenting teens at Reading, they were the first ones to come up to me and say, I've been working here for 30 years. I've been trying to prevent secondary pregnancies.
Wow.
Can you put me out of the job, please? Someone come and do some primary.
Right.
So I found Reading just to be so supportive and kind of prime for some more. You know, they needed some more. You know, people were becoming aware and not complacent anymore about the teen birth rates.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, Berks County tends to have a reputation for, you know, being 10 years behind everybody else. So that's wonderful to hear that people were thinking about that need. So many years ago already.
Yeah.
You were speaking at the BCIU, which is where you met Carolyn Basic, who is the executive director of Cook County Wellness, who is the backbone to Berkstein's Matter.
Correct.
You came on board as a consultant?
I did. So I came in as a consultant probably about 2011, 2012. So I was part of the work group, but that was separate. I just wanted to do that because I wanted to be involved. For my work in the school with the CDC project, I just knew I wanted to be a part of that. So that was kind of separate. But then Cook County would have me do other consultations, some training for their staff, writing different things for them for 3 years before this really came together as a big collective impact initiative, and they brought me on full time.
Right, so you came on full time just about a year ago.
Right.
It was the summer of 2015. Mm-hmm. Now here we are.
We are.
A year later, the program has launched, and we're going to do awesome things. Parents out there that are listening to this, we're going to talk about how you talk to your kids, how you open that communication, how you keep those doors open even when they want to slam them in your face. We're going to talk about all that. I'm really interested to learn about how you talk to your boys.
So, and I have a girl. I do have a daughter.
Oh, too. You have three kids. I didn't know that. I knew you had two. Okay, so how old are your kids?
So they are almost 16. In a couple of weeks, they'll be 16, 14, and 12.
16, 14, and 12. So you are right in
we
the middle.
In the throes of adolescence.
Of all of this.
Yes.
So I'm super interested to hear how someone who is educated in this area, I mean, this is what you're teaching people, how these conversations go in your house. And I think a lot of other parents are probably curious to hear that as well. So, all right, that's it for today. I feel like we could talk forever. But thank you for joining me again. We'll be hearing from you often in the future. Thanks, everybody who's listening. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. You'll hear us every other week. We'll have new information. You're going to get to hear some kids' perspectives, some parents' perspectives. You'll hear from providers. You're going to get so much information. Make sure you subscribe. Check out our website at www.berksteensmatter.org. We'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.